For the duration of this podcast, I will be looking at Jordan shoes on the internet.
This is episode 88 of the Credit Podcast. I'm Alex Jaffe, and the game most recently recommended to me that I'll probably never play is Alpha Protocol.
Oh, man.
Alpha Protocol. My name is Tim Rogers, and the game most recently recommended to me that I will probably never play is... hold on. Let me just skim through my Ask FM, in which people ask me all the time, have you played this game? I bet you would like it. Oh, no. Have you ever played a 16-player session of Baseball 2000 for the Game Boy? This was just recommended to me by someone who thinks I would enjoy it. I have played a non-16-player session of it, and no, I would never play a 16-player session of Baseball 2000 for the Game Boy. That was just recommended to me 2 days ago, so there you go.
I'm Brandon Sheffield, and the last game that was recommended to me that I will probably never play... Oh, Tim opened a beverage there. He's doing it again.
I was going to mute the microphone, but then
you didn't.
I thought
wait,
I would.
Wait,
I would
guys,
frustrate
guys
you.
Recommend me a game.
Okay, I'm going to recommend you a game called Base
no, not
Wars.
You guys. I'm talking about these guys walking by.
Oh, okay, those guys over there.
Castlevania?
Yes, because it's on your shirt.
Recommend me a better game.
Castlevania, that's tough. Come
those on. Guys are real quiet. They're recommending him a game right now.
No, that's not even that.
I got one for you. I got one for you, Persona.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind.
I got one for you. I got one for you.
All right. Recommend again.
DuckTales Remastered HD.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I will not play.
Okay. There you go.
And
Jonathan Persona Kim, who is joining us this week.
Yeah, that is. And I didn't say mine. Mine's Darkwood.
I don't know what that is.
Darkwood is it's one of those top-down 2D survival horror things, but it's also got crafting, and I can see how some people would be super into it, but it just looks amazingly, ploddingly boring to me, and I can't get behind it.
All right. So usually how this goes is I start off with a topic, and we discuss it for 6 minutes, and we repeat that cycle until we get to a lightning round. But this week, I'm giving the prompt of the lightning round to Brandon and Tim at the top of the show, and then we'll go into our topics, and hopefully they'll have something to say that they've thought out well enough by the time we get to it. Now, Jonathan Kim, you were one of the guys on Skullgirls, correct?
I am one of those guys.
And
one of those skull guys.
Yeah, during Skullgirls' Kickstarter phase, there was a whole bunch of player participation where they got to pick the next character who would make it into the roster of the next edition of the game. So, Tim and Brandon, I want each of you to design, over the course of this show, in your head, an original Skullgirl. And you will pitch your character to Jonathan Kim at the end of the show, and he will tell you which is better.
All right, I've actually got mine already, but I will refine it. I will revise it during the show.
Yes, the more detail, the better. And with that...
It can also be a man.
Yes, a man is capable of being a Skullgirl, as in Beowulf.
Yeah, yes. Well, also as in Big Band, who's in the game already.
I wanted Beowulf to be in there, but
Beowulf's cool too.
Let's just talk about Beowulf
in a few months.
Okay, fantastic. Let's go into our first topic, shall we? In episode 47 of the Insert Credit Podcast, we discussed the best Sega Genesis games of all time.
Yes.
But what are the best Sega games outside of the Genesis library? Let's work together to compose a mini list of six games.
Six games. That are best Sega games. Best Sega games outside of the Genesis library. I want to say Panzer Dragoon Z-Way.
Yeah.
Is on there.
Panzer Dragoon Z-Way.
Do you mean not published on a Sega console or just the Genesis?
Not published on
the Genesis.
Oh, okay.
Z-Way's got to be on there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Everything on the Dreamcast.
Everything on the Dreamcast is probably too wide. I think we might need to narrow that down.
Damn.
That's the way I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, hopefully you pick six games which are representative of what Sega has to offer.
Yeah. Afterburner, Climb, Outrun. Outrun 2006.
Yeah, so, Outrun 2006. Yeah. That's right. Outrun 2006.
I would just say Outrun Online Arcade for Xbox and PC.
I guess that's got the most stuff in it.
It's got the most stuff, and it's the sweetest, and it's got all the HD.
All right, so we'll say that one.
And Afterburner Climax.
What?
Afterburner Climax as well. Right?
Yeah,
that's
pretty good. Yeah.
Afterburner Climax, yeah. Climax Edition. Is that the best one? That's the best one with the rotating cockpit in the arcade.
But is it really the Climax Edition if it doesn't make you climax?
Oh, have you ever played it? Because I...
Lol. Hey, what do we think about... I know we put Panzer Dragoon Zwei in there, but what about also Panzer Dragoon Saga? Some people say it's overrated, but I really like it.
PD Saga?
Yeah.
First of all, it's Azel, Panzer Dragoon RPG, first of all.
Uh-huh.
Well, Brandon, this will interest you.
Let's see if I can reach it. I'm ready.
So, is it going to be the magazine advertising?
I got it. Okay, so this is a brand new copy of Panzer Dragoon Azel, right?
Yeah.
Man, I guess, there's this Obi on there, the paper Obi.
Yeah.
So the Obi is, for anyone who is not familiar, it's the paper sleeve that's on the side, the spine of a Japanese game.
Yeah,
so
we call it actually, spine card in the U.S.
Yeah, spine card. They call it Obi in Japan. It's a reference
Anakin's,
to...
Anakin's master, anyway.
No, it's a, Obi just means a kimono belt. So, like a kimono or a yukata belt. Anyway, I opened it the other day. I unwrapped it and opened it. And there was another Obi inside, uncut, unperforated.
Oh, man, double Obi.
Oh, man. I heard you like Obis.
Double Obi.
I like Obis, so I got double Obi. So I'm double Obi in all
Did you
the
get
time.
OBB?
The Elder Scrolls V, double Obi. No, wait, the Elder Scrolls 4, too, double Obi.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Oh, my God. What words did I just say? Help. All
right, so what other... So, wait... I think I'm going to say Shining Force 2 Sword of Haja on the Game Gear. I don't know if that...
I would say Shining Force Triple.
But Shining Force Trips has a... It's really good, but it's way inconsistent with its graphicisms and stuff.
I like those weird graphicisms, and I like that. Now bear my Arctic Blast.
Okay, we got to have a Shining Force, so it could be three. John, what were you going to say?
Oh, well, before I was going to mention, do you guys remember the Panzer Dragoon Saga advertisements, the print ads in America?
Barely.
It was literally just a cutout of his face, the main character's face. You had to cut out his mouth. And you could wear it as a Halloween mask. It was the weirdest, dumbest advertisement.
Oh, that's
possible.
Amazing. I love terrible. It.
Yeah, you can imagine a bunch of weed in the room when that happened.
I could be Edge.
But this is the same time Sega was advertising their Saturn with, naked ladies, two-page spreads.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were doing at the time. They were a little confused. Okay, we could also... Now,
wait, can I recommend a Fantasy Zone?
Which P-Zone? Which F-Zone?
I like the original.
That's
pretty solid.
We were talking about the Master System in an episode. You're talking about the arcade one, right?
Yeah.
The 2DX.
2DX.
2DX. You know, this would be completely cheating, but there are all those remixes on the PS2. But we'll leave those alone. It's cheating too much. You know what? I kind of would like to put Knights on there.
Oh. I think Knights should be on there. I would say put Knights, the PS2 remake with the 720p sweetness in it.
PS3 remake.
That's our six games right
that's
there.
That's PS3 remake? Oh, are we not going to... I mean, we could go longer than that.
Yeah,
we
should.
I want to take out a Panzer Dragoon and maybe put in, Jet Set Radio or something.
But Jet Set Radio controls telepathically control a walrus.
It has a quintessential, modern Sega attitude and graphics and music. Everything but the gameplay it has.
Do we really need Fantasy Zone and Afterburner in there?
They're pretty different.
They're P-Diff, They're P-Diff. I was gonna ask for F-Zero AX, the arcade game. I mean, I guess...
I'm okay with replacing Apple
or a Super Monkey Ball games, man.
Yeah.
Those are tasty.
Yes.
I could do without a Monkey Ball.
They're tasty babies,
balls
man.
In my life.
They're tasty,
I'm not super into Monkey Ball myself.
Super Monkey Ball is my second favorite video game with the initials SMB.
Is that your porn name?
Yeah.
So, maybe we should just stick with what we got.
Yeah, it's a good list.
All right. And we didn't get any Dreamcast games on there, but that's okay.
Oh, well, I guess it's because the Dreamcast is terrible.
Yeah, that's why.
Stupid Dreamcast.
What a jerk.
Here is our next question. If you were an adult living in the Kanto region of the Pokemon universe, what would you do for a living?
Be absent.
Absent? Why?
Because there's... Well, if I was a parent, I'd be absent.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, aren't those nurses working at the Poke Center? Aren't they adults?
Oh, there are plenty of adults. I mean, most of the most of the gym leaders are adults. The guys who run the shops, the people at Sylph Co., the people who run the Pokemon Graveyard Tower in Lavender Town, the people at the dojo, the people who run the Safari Zone.
Hey, can I be the?
You can stop me at any time.
Can I be the?
The guy who runs the surf shop in Pokemon Yellow.
I want to be the police lady.
I don't think
the police lady a real character. I want to be
she
her.
She never shows up in the game, I don't think.
Oh, really? She shows up in Pokemon Yellow Special Pikachu Edition. You get a Squirtle from her.
So okay.
Is that Special Pikachu or Speakachu?
it's Special Pikachu.
I'm gonna be her and I'm gonna give you a Squirtle.
I'm gonna be myself and give myself a Squirtle.
Heyo.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I would probably be a guy who works at a bike shop.
I'll tell you what, within Kanto itself, Game Freak itself exists, and you can meet the guys who developed the game. So maybe you could still be a video game developer within the Pokemon universe.
I mean, I'm in the Pokemon universe, I want to do something a little more interesting.
But what kind of games do you think they make in the Pokemon universe?
They probably make Pokemon.
They make the Pokedex, probably.
Oh.
Yeah, imagine for them, Pokemon is a lot like Madden. Like, you could go out and play football, or you could play the video game version of football.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Do you suppose, in that universe, they recreate the universe in there? Like, because they say, oh, I'm making the graphics that you see now, like one of the programmers there. So, like, is he recreating the world a la, like, GTA recreation, or, like, what is the Pokemon game they're making?
Are they making the world itself? Are they inceptioning the thing?
I think it's exactly like the Pokemon world, except all the combat is turn-based, whereas in the actual Pokemon world, it happens in real time.
Hmm. That makes sense.
They have photorealistic next-gen graphics, because
Exactly. So,
what was the question?
The question is, what would you do for a living if you lived in the Kanto region of the Pokemon universe?
Probably pick on little kids, like challenge them to lose my money.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking I would do. I'd be one of those creepy old Pokemon trainers who jumps out.
Let's think of a good phrase we could say.
Oh, God, yeah, good.
Yes. Oh, man, what would I say? What would I say?
Help me, I'm stuck.
I'd say, now bear my Arctic Blast.
Oh, that's a good one. And you could, send out an ice Pokemon, like a seal.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
I would say the Elder Scrolls 4 to Dublobian.
Yeah, that's right.
The Elder Scrolls 4 to Dublobian.
What if I was an in-game advertisement? I would say, oh, pre-order Madden 2014 now at your local GameStop.
You would say that in the world of Pokemon?
Yeah.
I think that would be very confusing.
Oh, you think they're going to start sponsoring Pokemon trainers so that they can customize their opening battle phrase to plug
something? Whoa, Major League Pokemon.
I want to train my own Madden.
MLP!
Train your Madden to fight against other Maddens.
Yeah.
I would be really Pokemon. I know what I would be. I know what I would be. I would be the gym leader. For the gym, for scrotum-type Pokemon. They would call them Scrokemon.
Scrokemon, yeah.
Scrokemon.
And then I would also have a turd-type in my group.
Yeah, that's the one that throws, pe- Yeah, that's why I'm throwing people for a loop, because they've been training their Pokemon to take on Scrotum types, but they're at the end of your lineup as a Turk type.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah.
You're getting a lot of tweets there, Persona.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you must be real popular on the social media.
What if I was a gym leader, but I didn't actually battle anyone? I was just a gym trainer. I'd be like, yeah, you want to work out your abs today? Let's go.
That actually exists in the Kanto region of the Pokemon universe, Jonathan there's, Persona Kim.
There's a martial it's next arts door gym.
From the, yeah, it's next door from the psychic gym in Saffron City. Don't challenge
they also got,
me on this.
They got
I've played this game.
It's a bit different, though, because they're actually fighting you, and it's just a dojo.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Also, did you know that you fight one of them in a later game? They actually say that they went to another region, and you can get like a Hitmonchan or something from them.
No, you get a Tyrogue, which can evolve into Hitmonlee, Hitmonchan, or Hitmontop, depending on their stats when it reaches a prerequisite level.
Hitmontops.
Hey, Jaffy, have you ever played Pokemon before?
Yeah!
Have you ever played Plokemon before?
No, and I haven't played Plock before either.
Have you Plock rules. Pac-Man?
No, I have not. I have played Pac-Man.
Have you ever played Pac-Man?
I think we should move on to the next question.
Yeah, I'm going
to
stop that.
All right. Here's our next topic, guys. This one comes from listener Victor I.
Oh, tell him I said what's up.
All right.
Wait, is that short for victory? Or is that long for victory, rather?
Yes, it's long for victory.
Is his middle name comma?
Yes. So Victory asks, what is the best-looking crowd in a video game?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I actually think about this quite a bit.
Me too.
Like, racing games tend to have pretty good, but then sometimes they cheat and just have, like, billboard cutouts of photographs. Actually, you know what? Virtua Fighter has a really good crowd.
I'm particularly a fan of the crowd in the Las Vegas stage of Street Fighter II, because it's just some people hanging around with cars and some showgirls. They're all just super pumped to be there, watching Mike Bison punch a dude.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They're more
Balrog.
Yeah, I do mean Balrog.
But you definitely don't mean Vega.
No, I don't mean Vega. I remember there being a terribly pixelated, awful crowd in Pit Fighter that I could enjoy hating. I don't know. Certainly not the best, though.
You know what's actually a really cute crowd?
What's that?
In the Kirby Superstar, when you're doing the world-smashing event, there's a bunch of cute little Kirby enemies in the background. Including DDD and some other dudes just hanging out, and Luigi, I think.
Man, I have not seen that, but that sounds good to me.
It's really cute.
Here's what I think about every time I see a crowd scene in a video game. I think if I weren't playing this game and was one of the people in the crowd, would watching this be interesting? And 9 out of 10 times the answer is no, who would pay to see this?
There's, in one of the stages of Saturn Bomberman, there's a crowd, and I would definitely be in the crowd to watch Saturn Bomberman, because that would be really interesting.
Saturn Bomberman, heck yeah.
Yeah. Saturn Bomberman!
Sat-Bomb, as we call it,
yeah.
Where I'm from. So, we were playing Forza 5 on my Xbox One here in my house the other day, and We like Kerwin was playing, and he was driving around real slow around the track and like parking the car and staring at the crowd. Oh my god. And the crowd is so bad. So we were taking pictures. I don't know if anybody can see this. It's just for the people at home.
Oh, yeah.
But you're gonna see there's like 3 cardboard cutouts of the exact same girl. Do you guys see that?
Yeah.
And you see the guy in the green shirt and then the exact same guy behind him in like a gray shirt.
Amazing.
They're just standing perfectly still and they're like kind of randomly placed. And sometimes there's a whole bunch of them. And here's more of them. And it's really clear that they're just some people on the development team's friends
they look
or whatever.
Like kind of bored.
So do you see this lady on the left side and the lady on the right side are exactly the same and they're just at different distances? Yeah, they look like there's this kid here, like It's obviously somebody's son. And he looks like he could not possibly care less about cool cars racing real fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Dad. Don't take a picture of me.
So the thing is, you know, and the justification for a crowd that bad is they're like, well, this game's about driving cars 200 miles per hour. Nobody's gonna slow down and take a look at that car.
Somebody did.
Somebody did, and it was me. I accidentally said Xbox One, and now my Xbox One has turned on because it thought I said Xbox On.
Oh, no.
Is that true?
Yeah, I can't make this stuff up. It turned on.
That's great.
By the way, the whole time since you mentioned the Saturn Bomberman, it's stuck in my head.
Man, I'm hearing so much echoing right now. Good Lord.
Where's it coming from?
Tell me if you hear it when I turn off my microphone.
Test. Nope. Don't hear it.
I don't hear any echoing.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I still hear echoing with you guys talking.
Yeah, I think we might need to... I don't know, we might need to do something because I feel like it's possibly true that some guys are hearing what we're saying as the echo. Like, the echo is what you're actually hearing and we just have some real bad lag. We might need to reassess just briefly.
Okay. We'll take a short break.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, I'm going to just go on to the next topic, unless we have anything more to say about crowds.
Whatever we were talking about?
Crowds in video games was the topic.
Crowds!
Nah, I'm sticking with my answer of Las Hit Vegas. Fighter?
I'm sticking with Kirby Superstar.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's our next one, then. Now that 6 months have passed since their release... How have your opinions changed, if at all, on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4?
Well, I still don't own either one, so my opinion is still I would like someone to give them to me. but that's about as far as my opinion goes. It would be cool to own one, maybe. I think that. But I think I felt that before, so I guess I'm exactly in the same spot. How about you, Tim?
Well, I've got both of them.
Right.
And, I think they're stupid noob boxes. They're stupid baby. They're for babies and old people. Is what it feels like.
That's cool.
They're boxes for noobs. Netflix on the PlayStation 4 can't even rewind correctly. Like you tap it to rewind, and you try to go back. Like say you want to go back 30 seconds, and then you press the button again, and it like gets stuck, and then it spins it up, and then it pops you like half a second before. You had the part where you tried to rewind, and then
I even have it.
To rewind, you have to hit like five things, and then PlayStation 4 has this social share thing that tells all your PlayStation Network friends what you're doing and what games you're playing. But it's really stupid because apparently it started sharing Netflix activity, and now it's like Tim Rogers played Netflix 10 times, but it tops out at 10 times because it assumes that you're going to be hopping from content piece to content piece giddily, I assume, is the word. But there's nothing on there. I mean, let's face it, you know, there's a bunch of trash on there. There's stuff I already played on PC. Octodad's on there. That game's cool, but I already played that on PC, for example.
Do you get trophies for watching Netflix?
No. On Xbox One, you get achievements, but they're not real. You get achievements for watching Netflix, but they're not real achievements. It's just they're internal to Netflix.
What do they call it?
They look exactly like their Xbox achievements because Netflix is big on emulating the UI of the hardware that they're on. So
do they call it like net achievements or
no? They should call it.
It just says achievement unlocked.
Oh, lame.
And then there's a thing, but then it doesn't. Actually, it's not. It doesn't go into your gamer score.
That's a real missed opportunity. Let's think of a better name.
I just found a list of the Netflix achievements.
Newbie Reviewer, rate 5 titles. Big City Critic, rate 25 titles. Rampaging Reviewer, rate 100 titles. The Ultimate Opinion, rate 250 titles. Oh. Triple Play, watch 3 episodes in a row. Just one more episode, watch 5 episodes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get enough of this show, watch 10 episodes in a row. 1 week wonder, use Netflix for 7 days in a row. 2 wild weeks, use Netflix for 14 days in a row. And 1 month marathon, use Netflix for 30 days in a row.
Well, yeah. Creative.
I could do all of those, but I prefer to use the PlayStation 4. What? Because the PlayStation 4 has a headphone jack in the controller. So that makes it a lot easier for me. And then as soon as I plug my headphones into the PlayStation 4 controller, pop, I got it in my head. And it sounds real good. Whereas for the Xbox, I got to go through some nonsense to get my Dolby headphones connected. So,
what do you think about the fact that Kinect is no longer necessary, and they basically built their entire thing around the idea that it was going to be? Are we doing this?
Yeah, we're doing that.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm genuinely stretching because my arm is sore. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to distract anybody.
Okay. Anyway. Oh, yeah, for those that are just listening, Tim was flexing, and so I started flexing. That's the end of the story.
There's actually, in case y'all didn't know, there's a practical purpose to flexing. It's when your muscles are sore, you can kind of stretch them.
So what do we think about that that thing where, Microsoft has essentially admitted defeat with the Kinect, perhaps a little too early, perhaps before they really explained why it was cool, and they did the same thing with the that kind of sharing that they were going to do.
Oh yeah,
remember the game sharing deal and the always on stuff. So they've just been dumping a whole lot of money and time and thought and advertising
into crap that they cut completely out of their thing.
Into stuff that they cut when a few people complain, and it's like, I don't know if that's the best idea. Like, I complained about that stuff, but were they right to listen to me before I even knew what their real plan was? Because they never told us the plan is part of the big problem. Because there was a lot more to their plans than they revealed, really. So, I just don't know about that. Now they've got a slightly underpowered box that
is running none of the games at the resolution that the Wii U is.
Yeah, so that's like a weird, that's a weird thing they got going on.
I was talking to Ben Burbank just the other day. We were talking about, you know, what is the Xbox One like? Because we were playing Forza at my house, as I explained earlier, Fivesa, and we're like, what is next gen about this? And Burbank's like, oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a million things that are next gen about this. It's got all this stuff going on under the hood. And Burbo's not exactly an Xbox One fanboy or anything, but he's like, there's like a million next gen things, but nobody can see them. They're just all kind of in there somewhere. And, you know, it's like, they're all just who cares things. And,
oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
That happens sometimes.
That's cool.
I just played that game today.
It's a good one. Each of you is given a personal robot maid.
Oh, that's
their
nice.
Personality is based on the save data of games you have spent the most time playing. What is your robot like?
Oh, that's a good quest. Yeah.
I guess mine's probably pretty methodical because if we're talking about raw number of hours, it's likely going to be some tactics RPGs because those are the games that I put a whole bunch of time into and finished when I was commuting to work on the train, and so I just played a whole bunch of those. I played through I don't know, at least 5, 6, 7 of them on the PSP, and I played a whole bunch on the Saturn. And all that biz. So yeah, mine's probably just some kind of very, very purposeful, relatively dry, really efficient robot. And that kind of makes me sad. I should have played a whole lot more Persona, I guess.
Yeah,
have a weirder robot. So I have killed God in Dragon Quest VII, which takes an excruciatingly long time. So I have a box full of books upstairs, including I've got a King James Bible and a Quran in there. I think my robot maid would throw those away. That's my joke. That's a good joke. My robot maid. Man, killing God in Dragon Quest VII is a lot of work. Have any of you guys done that? Jeff, have you done that before?
No, I have not done that.
Am I the only one who's psychotic enough to do that?
I was working on killing the Grand Dragon in the Game Boy Color port of Dragon Warrior 3, but I never quite made it.
Yeah, it's a tough fight.
I haven't even touched Dragon Quest VII, so...
DQ Sev. Yep. There was the 3DS remake in Japan, and I don't know if it's out yet in the U.S., I guess I don't even know these things anymore. Dragon Quest VIII is coming out on iPad.
Ooh.
Oh, it's already out.
Or is it out today?
Yeah.
Was it today? Oh, there you go.
It's $20.
$20?
Has no voice acting, has no orchestrated music.
And I like that, though.
Okay.
I like that. The voice acting sucks. The voice acting was terrible. And the orchestra audio was really badly mixed. So, sounds like... it's the version I'd like.
So, sounds like your robot maid wouldn't be able to talk to him.
Yes.
Or would communicate solely through writing, or maybe an LED display.
You know, yeah, that's kind of charming. It's like a sound when talking.
Yeah, I love the text blip sound. My robot would have a good text blip. Because I'll tell you what, I busted up all the punks, and I cracked down on chumps in Dragon Quest VII, or Dragon Quest VIII. I Dragon Quest ate those chumps right up.
So how would that reflect in your robot?
Well, I mean, that's another several hundred hours of Dragon Questing that my robot has performed. And so I think I've collected all the monsters in, like, four different copies of Dragon Quest V.
So this robot would be really good at cleaning and accumulating various objects and probably organizing your stuff.
Yeah, I'd be looking at a very meticulous robot.
You know, I just realized something about my robot is that most of those games I sunk tons and tons of hours into were turn-based, so I might have to push the robot, push a button to get the robot to do everything every time it completes one action.
Seeing as you probably played those games on the toilet a fair deal, they're also turn-based.
Or maybe you'd have to do exchange actions, like you would have to do something and then the maid could do something and then you have to do something.
Yeah. Man, this is rough. My maid kind of sucks. John, what about yours?
All right. So the games I put most hours into would probably be Phantasy Star Online, Monster Hunters, and Pokemon games, which are all collectathon kind of things. Well, if it was Pokemon based, I'd have a lot of my maid would raise a lot of eggs, trying to get a single Pokemon. So I should probably go to the market, buy eggs on the cheap, and then just throw them all away.
Or maybe just make a whole bunch of robot babies. Just little baby nanobots going around.
Robo-babies.
Robo-babies.
Robobabies.
And then all night, to go out and search.
Robobabies. Robo-babies.
Say it, Jonathan. Say it.
Robobabies.
Robobabies. I was going to say that your robot would likely be very small and friendly looking.
Yeah, I'd like that.
You'd have a little friendly. Little tiny. Maybe it would even be flying.
That would be pretty good. And
just like a mag.
Like a mag. Yeah. Or a chow. Well, chows
can
fly.
How would it clean? No, chows can fly.
I guess there's flying chows.
It would clean with like some kind of big vacuum cleaner it had attached to its flying self.
No, it would disintegrate dust particles. It would levitate and disintegrate them.
That sounds cool.
Little tiny fingertip lasers.
My maid would try to find all sorts of red boxes everywhere. So it would be like busting up Home Depot's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Most of Home Depots.
Yeah. All those games are super grindy, so I don't know. Maybe that means your robot will be really loud.
Yeah,
you can hear it grinding. It's pretty good.
It'd work in my favor if I wanted to, like, grind sauces or, like, powders or things.
Yeah, grinding sauces, as we all know, is a frequent action of humans. Don't mind me, I just gotta grind up a sauce real quick.
That's a real thing we do. That's how people eat, right?
I love grinding up sauces.
Well, I was thinking of Korean sauce, where you actually do grind like sesame seeds and then pour.
Can you tell me how to grind on sesame seeds? Oh God! What is that?
All right, I think you answered that question there, Tim, with that nice pun.
All right. It occurred to me today that I can't name a single fighting game director. What can you tell us about the people behind the development of history's greatest fighting games?
I bet Daisuke
Ishiwatari, Guilty Gear director.
Yeah. I can also name Ono, even though he's not the director, he's the producer.
Yeah.
But he's kind of the director in the Japanese sense.
He's the pro director.
Yeah, he's the pro director. He did that Street Fighter 4, and he did a good job with that. And then you got your Harada, who's the second dude. And he's kind of an interesting guy because, unlike Ono, Harada has been making Tekken since the first one. He worked on all the Tekkens, pretty much. So,
but he didn't start as a producer. He started from like the bottom rung and worked his way up.
Yes,
like,
it's true. But he did work on all of them. And
that's true.
So it was fun to talk to. I interviewed him a while ago, and I was actually able to ask him about the original Tekken and what they were doing with all their floatiness and stuff. And one of the things he was talking about is how their innovation was that they had all the animations in there, like right arm and left arm, because in Virtua Fighter, they would always keep the camera on the same side so that they wouldn't have to reverse, so they could reverse the animations and stuff. That was kind of interesting. But Tim, did you just buy Dragon Quest VIII? Is that what just happened?
No, I'm looking at the screenshots on the store. Look at this. See this nonsense?
Yep.
They got black bars on it on this on the left.
Oh yeah,
side.
I see that.
What?
I'm at
portrait oriented. What?
I'm at 20% battery, so if I cut out, you will know.
Oh, okay. So wait, who was the director of Skullgirls? Was that Mike Z technically?
Well, there's two. There's like creative director, which is Alex, and then Alex Ahad, and then game director, which would be Mike Z. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they dual directed it. Double director. I don't remember who the director of any of the Virtua Fighters are after Yu Suzuki.
I don't know them either. I think the reason we don't know so much about directors of them games is there's just it's hard for anybody to direct one of those. You've got to have so many people playing it. The amount of playtesting that goes into a fighting game is just, it's idiotic how much work it is.
Yeah, it's got to be some kind of committee situation where they just got a whole bunch of planners planning all up on that stuff. They're just grinding out spreadsheets constantly.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the director of the Virtua Fighter series was one of the guys who made Sonic the Fighters. I think I remember reading an interview.
Oh, really?
Stating, yeah, like if you look for them, their names are out there, just no one cares, because Virtua Fighter is so unimportant here.
I think Sonic the Fighters is my least favorite title of a video game.
I think you should get out.
Sonic the Fighters rules.
Yeah, imagine if that was our name.
Why isn't it Sonic the Fighter, or Sonic Fighters?
Because it's made in Japan, man.
They don't understand definite articles over there. They're just too chill.
Oh, man.
How don't cool know about no
is
words,
a name?
Man.
Think about it. What if your name was Tim the Fighters or
Alex Jaffe?
I'd like to be the Fighter, but not Fighters.
I think Alex the Jaffe would be pretty fun for you.
Yeah,
Alex the Jaffe.
Yeah, I would go by that, Alex the Jaffe. Mm-hmm. That works for me.
Jaffe the Taffy.
Not so much.
But I guess, so what, in terms of what should we know about these directors, I think the answer is they mostly just try to bring together all of the data from all of the people that are working on these things, because like with Street Fighter 2, it was just everybody was submitting their own different designs of characters and submitting their move lists, and the programmers were all thinking about different stuff, And it was the director's job to just bring it all together, just turn it into a cohesive package and tell everybody how to make it one whole thing.
Wait, so, different people came up for the concepts for all the Street Fighter II characters?
Yeah.
But it's all just, let's just toss out all the stereotypes. They could have done that in an afternoon.
No, you couldn't. Like, where does the stereotype of Indian people stretching their arms come from? That's not a stereotype that exists.
Yeah.
Or the stereotype of Brazilians being covered in green hair and electric, you know? Like, they haven't thought about this stuff.
An interesting fact is that Keiji Inafune, he was actually one of the planners on Street Fighter. He sent some designs in, so you could see his, like, crudely drawn concepts of, like, Dazzlin, too.
Dazzlin. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
That's
KG Inabot. Good old
I still think good old Daisuke Ishiwatari is, like, the coolest guy in fighting games, because he's character designer, director, lead programmer, music composer of the Guilty Gear games.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely the coolest one, and he's definitely super talented, but I'll be darned if I don't find those Guilty Gear games really unappealing to me.
I can understand one of a type of person not liking that game, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
too
all
bad
right.
About
I,
that.
Guess what? I don't really like them. I mean, no offense to them. There's cool stuff, but I just...
Yeah, I recognize that they're good. It's not a fun game for me, is the thing.
I get all nervous when I play.
The game feels pretty different from the Capcom games.
What are some cool cartoons for people who like good video games?
Cool cartoons?
Ooh, yeah, okay. I like cartoons. I would say, I mean, I think one of the problems with this is everybody's already going to know everything that I'm going to say. But the Venture Brothers are a cool cartoon.
Yeah.
Because they...
Why is it cool if you like video games?
It's cool if you like video games because it's a bunch of different kinds of stuff, and it takes you on a certain kind of a journey without pandering to you or making you feel like a jerk or making you feel like you're some kind of a schlub. It's kind of a semi-cool cartoon, and I like that. So I don't know. I think for people that like video games, they want to experience a different world that they can't be in, but which is recognizable-ish and appealing to them, and that's what Venture Brothers does for me. So, how about, and also that Utena. Utena is a good one because it's got a pretty interesting story, but also at least half the episodes have a duel in them. So it's there's one consistent element, which is sword fighting, and then you've got story and trappings that surround that, and that's it, essentially how all video games work anyway, so...
The sword fighting Utena, though, is just, it's nothing. It's basically the equivalent of, like, in Sailor Moon, when she pulls out her magic killing move.
No, not necessarily. Okay, I haven't finished it yet, but she loses the Rose Bride at a certain point. She doesn't always win.
But, like, it's not a major, I mean, it's an aspect, but they're not actually having crazy duels. They're just clashing swords and recycling animation.
Sometimes they do. I don't know. It's a thing. Well,
yeah.
You know, I can't think of a much better example of that kind of thing.
Maybe Jonathan Persona Kim can.
Maybe he can.
Why don't you go and think of one then?
Examples of what?
Of cool cartoons for people who like video games.
Probably people that like video games would just like cool cartoons in general, so like Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
Oh, BMTAS.
That's a pretty sweet one.
But not the episodes where Riddler puts Batman in a video game. Those are kind of weak.
Nah. And not the ones that have Robin, because Robin blows.
I don't know. The two-parter where he traces down Tony Zuko was all right.
Robin blows. What if the player is a kid and he wants to see a kid in the cartoon?
Didn't you get the memo, Jaffe?
Well, here's where you're at fault, Jonathan Persona Kim, because there are two Robins in Batman the Animated Series. There's Dick Grayson, who's at college. He's by no means a kid. And later there's Tim Drake, who is certainly a kid.
Who died in the comics.
Around the time of the new Batman Adventures. No, Jason Todd died in the comics. He's the second Robin. Tim Drake is the
third Robin, but in Batman the Animated Series, he's the second Robin.
There you go.
Actually, you know what would be a good show for kids that like video games? When I was a kid, there was this anime called, I think it's called Granzort. It's about like little kids that can summon giant animal-themed robots that come to them, like one, like a dragon from a volcano, like a giant mecha dragon bursts out, and then there's like an ice lion that like comes roaring out of the Arctic. And then, like, they could summon and, like, put a key into them and, like, turn them on, and then they go and fight magical evil. It was, like, the coolest show as a kid.
And then they made a Super Graphics game out of it.
Oh, yeah, did they?
Yep.
Was it as cool? What did you do? Was it an RPG?
Oh, you just fought stuff. You just... It was an action platformer, jumpy game. It was also... People kind of called it a pseudo-sequel to Keith Courage and Alpha Zones. But, yeah. I think it was based on another anime that was from the same person or something like that. I thought of another cartoon that would be cool. Oh, yeah. I guess maybe it was a joke, but Pokemon. I liked
it. I don't know if that show is... the first couple seasons actually went somewhere, but afterwards they realized they had to keep going forever, so they decided to cut all kinds of progress.
What about Naruto? What about Naruto? People like that, right? Like, that's the thing. People
Sorry, Jamie.
You know what? If you like video games,
seasons of Naruto.
If you like video games, you should just watch anime. That's all.
Yeah.
But not all the anime. A lot of it's garbage.
Garbage.
It's a cabbage.
Yeah, it's a lot of cabbage.
Too much cabbage, if you ask me.
Yeah, so about a month or so ago, it was Persona's birthday, and as a gift to him, I made him a curated list of all the Pokemon episodes focused on Dawn, the protagonist of the Diamond and Pearl games.
Yes, my favorite character.
So he should be muscling through those this year.
Unfortunately, I don't know how to watch them because they're not on Netflix.
Well, I'll get them for you, Jonathan Persona Kim. We'll talk about it after the show.
I also have 10% battery left.
Okay, so let's skip a topic and go right to the end, because I want to have him around for this.
Oh, I forgot about this. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, we're skipping a couple topics. Here we go. This is where you pitch your Skullgirls to Persona.
Oh, shoot. Let's go. Let's do this.
All right, I got one. Real easy. You ready?
Yeah. All right.
Skeleton. Wearing a blonde wig, a Viking helmet, one of those real big Viking cone brassieres, and she's got a battle axe and lipstick all over her teeth. That's it.
Man, I can't beat that. That's the best. Man, mine sucks now. Mine was going to be... Mine was okay, wait, I'm going to change
Hold
mine.
On. Tim, what's your Skullgirl's name?
Oh, God.
Fred.
Mine is named Bone Hilda.
Bone Hilda. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Bone Hilda.
Well, that's off the top of my head. That's, I thought I had something at the beginning of the show, and then I just formulated that all off the top of my head. So
that was really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, I guess mine, there's no point in me even saying.
I want to hear what you came up with.
Sorry, okay. Yeah. Mine is a sci-fi future, 80s anime style magical girl with a blonde with a blue streak in her hair, who uses a short range gun and calls in assists from spaceships. And that's who my character is. I don't know what her name is. I didn't think that far.
Well, who are you gonna pick? Who's the superior Skullgirl persona?
Well, thematically, Skullgirls all have a major twist to them. They're like surface wise one thing, but usually something very different on the inside. So having something just be a skull opera singer is pretty on the nose. Like, as in really obvious.
I've changed one definition of her. She has a spear and a little buckler shield.
That makes sense.
I think she'd belong more in, like, Skull Calibur or something.
Skull Calibur.
Whereas, Skull Calibur.
Brandon's talks into, like, a very 80s anime, which I think Alex would be very inspired by, since most of the characters in Skullgirls are inspired by his creations in high school. So, I'm sure we could adapt that more to the world better.
Oh, man.
Is this a surprise victory for Brandon Sheffield?
Apparently so.
Oh, congratulations, Brandon.
Congrats.
Mine's better, but...
yours is better.
I'm wondering, if yours isn't already...
an NPC.
But Skull Calibur is pretty good.
Basically just covered already, kind of by the general...
Yeah.
Well, there's no sci-fi-ish girls in Skull Calibur.
Ken, you might want to save that character for, a future action button game.
Oh, I know exactly.
Stone Hilda.
I have way too many game characters in my head now.
She sounds like she'd belong in, what was that, Clay Fighter?
Clay
yeah.
Fighter. Oh, man.
No, there is I didn't say she was an opera singer. I said she was a skeleton with a Viking helmet on.
Yeah, but everybody connected the dots.
No, I think I did not. I was thinking of her as a Valkyrie, not as an opera singer.
Yeah, see?
Yep.
Just a Valkyrie skeleton.
Yep.
All right. So that's the podcast, pretty much. Get one recommendation from each of you for some kind of media thing for our audience to consume over the next week. It could be a book, a movie, a TV show, or even a video game, or whatever.
Could I go first since my battery is about to die?
Yes, go first.
I just got the Ken Sugimori 25th anniversary art book, or 25 years of his work. It's about 360 pages of art. On the cover is Pokemon, Quinty, and what's the last game? Jerry Boy. And it's only about 16 pages of Pokemon, about 200 pages of Quinty manga, and 100 pages of Jerry Boy manga, and a few pages here and there for Drill Dozer and other things he did in between. It's amazing.
Jerry Boy manga.
Yeah. There was a lot of Jerry Boy manga.
It looks really cool. I saw some of your pictures you tweeted, and it looks pretty great.
It's pretty cute and amazing and great.
I didn't see a Jerry Boy manga.
Okay, well...
There's a big, page spread of, a kiss between the princess and the Jerry Boy.
Oh, nice.
Okay, I'm going to recommend a thing, but we're gonna let John go so that you can maintain some battery.
Goodbye, John.
Bye, John.
Goodbye, John.
Let's do this again soon.
Goodbye. Yeah. Invite me again. It's been fun.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to recommend a thing, which is just basically the latest. So when I was in Poland just recently, I purchased some records on the... Man, I'm still hearing this echo. I'm going to kill myself. sorry, everyone. But I bought some records. I bought a bunch of old Polish records, and I bought I got some Hungarian... rock music from the 70s, which is all super cool. And so I'm going to recommend Scorpio with a K. Scorpio. Check out some Scorpio from Hungary from the 70s, and you'll have a cool rock and roll time for yourself.
A cool rock and roll time for YS.
Yourself. Yes.
For yourself, not. I'm going to recommend, I watched a South Indian movie called Pushpaka Vimalamu, which is it's a silent movie starring Kamal Hassan from 1988, and it's not silent, but it's
pretty quiet.
It has sound, but no dialogue, and it tells a fairly complex, strange story over the course of 2 hours and 10 minutes, and it has amazing FM synth music just kind of blaring through it, and it's really awesome. And I've just found it on... You can watch the full movie on YouTube. It's Pushpaka Vimanamu. Just look that up, and you should be able to find that on YouTube. And I actually just got a link. I'm pasting it to you guys if you've never seen it. It's really good.
I'll take a look.
It's kind of considered a masterpiece of the South Indian movies. But I had a really good time watching it.
And I had a really good time doing this podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. You can join our Facebook group. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You could visit us, our archive at podcast.intercredit.com. Special thanks to Blaine Brown, who edits this every week. I hope it's not too much of a garbled mess, what with the echoing and all. But I guess we'll be back for episode 89 next week. I'm Alex Jaffe.
I'm Tim Rogers.
I'm Brandon Sheffield, 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 Sheffield.
And the other guy was Jonathan Persona Kim.
And now you're playing with podcasts.
Podcast over, yeah!
That voice made my head hurt.
Yeah.